Bible and open to the book of Matthew, chapter number 1. Matthew, chapter number 1. We're going to speak about Jesus being born and really what the reason for Christmas is all about, the fact that God gave His Son to be our Savior. We do know, all of us do know, that later on in this week, Tuesday, of course, is Christmas Eve, Wednesday is Christmas, and we celebrate not only, you know, family getting together and having a meal together, perhaps presents, sharing with one another and so forth, but the primary reason to have Christmas, of course, is to celebrate the birth of our Savior. For many, many, many years prior to the birth of Jesus, the prophecy was waiting to be fulfilled that God would give His Son to the nation of Israel as their Messiah. For hundreds of years, actually, they waited. And if you perhaps already know this, but between the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, and the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, there's approximately 400 years in there where there was no, you know, writing of Scripture, no prophecy given. There was nothing, it was basically silence from heaven. But that didn't change God's promise, did it? God promised that the Messiah would come, and of course he did come. And it starts right here in Matthew chapter 1. I'd like to read verses 18 to 25 with you, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. And we're going to speak today about Jesus, the fulfillment. All right, so if you can picture that title in your head, Jesus, comma, the fulfillment. When we come, if you're here Tuesday night, the message is Jesus, the gift. Jesus, comma, the gift. So today, Jesus, the fulfillment. Notice, if you would, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. It was prophesied, of course, in the Old Testament that a virgin would bring forth a son, and his name would be Emmanuel, or God with us. That wonderful promise, which they waited for many, many, many years, finally has come true. Today, all these many years later, we look back on the fulfillment of that promise. And I want to speak to you about that this morning. All right, so let's pray. Father, thank you for this time, for each one that's here, for the wonderful Christmas hymns that we can sing together. And thank you for the real, true meaning of Christmas, and that is that God gave His Son to be our Savior. Help me as I speak today, Lord. Give me wisdom to know what to say. Give me strength to be able to say it. And may our ears be open and our hearts receptive. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Several things I want to talk to you about this morning. First of all, the expectation. Secondly, the event. And then thirdly, the excitement. Speak first of all about the expectation. God had spoken through His prophets, Isaiah being one of them. Several there were, of course. But God had spoken through his prophets and revealed to his people, the nation of Israel, that one day someone would come like unto Moses, by the way, and that he would be born and be their Messiah and be their Savior. If you know your Bible a little bit, you probably realize that the very first mention of anything close to this is in the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. In Genesis 3, you might remember that Adam and Eve had sinned against the Lord, and because of that, their eyes were opened and they understood good and evil a lot better than they ever did before. They recognized that they were naked, and you remember all that, I'm sure. But in that passage, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God is speaking to the serpent. And God says about the serpent and about the seed of the woman, he says this, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It," that would be her seed, "shall bruise thy head." That's a mortal wound. "And thou shalt bruise his heel." So not nearly as serious of an injury. But that's the very first mention of a Messiah coming, and because of his coming would, you know, put down Satan's reign over this earth. And yes, there'll be some damage done to him because he would suffer and die in our place. But it's spoken by God to the serpent after he caused Adam and Eve to disobey God and eat of the forbidden fruit. God prophesied that the day would come when the seed of the woman would deliver a death blow to Satan. But in so doing, of course, he would be bruised himself. That phrase, again, "it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel," refers to Christ's bruising on the cross, which led to the eventual crushing of Satan and his kingdom. Throughout the years, the Messiah was spoken of by many of the prophets of the Old Testament. And all those years of the prophets speaking of him, I'm sure the people were waiting with expectation and hope, believing that it would happen in their lifetime. And then that period between the two testaments, 400 years, my, it must have seemed like a long wait for all of them. The Old Testament comes to its close and 400 years pass by, and many of the things that the prophets had mentioned, for some, probably faded into the background of their thinking. And some of those folks maybe even perhaps forgot about it. But many of them did not forget about it. And even though the prophets were silent, God's promise was still going to be fulfilled. And so we come to Matthew chapter 1. And by the way, this is mentioned also in Luke chapter 2, the birth of the Messiah. As the New Testament era begins, the expectancy of the people of God, the expectancy of many of the children of Israel, is very high and very intense. And they're watching and they're waiting and they're wondering, when, oh when, is this going to happen? Well, that's the expectation. Number two is the event. The event. I'd like to call your attention to the Gospel of Luke, if you would please, and just see a couple of passages with me there. Luke, we'll start out in chapter 1, and I'm going to read several verses. I hope you'll follow along with me. Luke chapter 1, and I want you to see, first of all, as we go through these verses, again, we're talking about the event, which has to do with the birth of Christ. There's 9 different things on the timeline of this event. There's 9 different things on this timeline that I want to point out. The first one is, we have the announcement of the coming birth of John the Baptist. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 5. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years." Kind of makes you think of Abraham and Sarah, doesn't it? "And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without or outside at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias or Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, in other words, not able to speak, and explains that there, doesn't it? And not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zechariah, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. So here's the first part of the event, or the first item of 9 items in the timeline of this great event. We have the announcement of the coming birth of John the Baptist. The second thing is we have the announcement of the coming birth of Jesus. All right? So Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says this, And in the 6th month, that would be the 6th month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth, And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Now, it doesn't say this, but I have to wonder if Mary didn't look around and say, Are you talking to me? Hail, thou that art highly favored among women. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. But anyway, and the angel said unto her, Fear not. I'm sorry, verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. You can see, can't you? Way into the future, the millennium. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month with her, who was called barren. For with God, thank you for this verse, Lord, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So in these 9 items of this timeline concerning the event of the birth of Christ, we have, first of all, the announcement of the coming birth of John the Baptist. And second, we have the announcement of the coming birth of Jesus. Third, we have the visit of Mary and Elizabeth as they discuss what's going to happen. All right? So notice as we continue here in Luke chapter 1, verse 39, And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, watch this, the babe leaped in her womb. That's John the Baptist leaping in the womb of Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. So here's the third item on this timeline of events, these nine items. First is the announcement of the coming birth of John the Baptist. Second, the announcement of the coming birth of Jesus. Third, we have the visit of Mary and Elizabeth as they discuss what is going to happen and what God's going to do with the both of them. By the way, I see this. I bet you do too as you read through it. Mary and Elizabeth were very devoted believers. Can you see that? Just in their conversation and their speech with one another, you can tell that they believe in the Messiah, though the Messiah has not yet come. But I think this is why God chose them, don't you? Because their hearts were in tune with God Almighty and believing his prophecies from the Old Testament, though it had been now hundreds and hundreds of years. All right, the fourth item we're going to see now is the birth of John the Baptist. And in verse 57... Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and that was Old Testament custom, by the way, and they called him Zechariah after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so. He shall be called John. And they said unto her, there's none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father. Remember, he still can't speak. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table, you know, an iPad or something like that, and wrote saying, I realize they didn't have those then. He wrote saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea, and all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew, this is John the Baptist, of course, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. We're talking about nine items in the timeline of this great event, which is the birth of Jesus. First, the announcement of the coming birth of John the Baptist. Second, the announcement of the coming birth of Jesus. Third, the visit of Mary and Elizabeth as they discuss what God is about to do with both of them. Fourth, we have the birth of John the Baptist. And here we come finally to the birth of Jesus. Chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Friend, this is no accident. God moved upon his heart to do that so that Mary and Joseph would be at Bethlehem to fulfill prophecy when Christ would be born. Verse 2, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So the announcement of the coming birth of John the Baptist, the announcement of the coming birth of Jesus, the visit of Mary and Elizabeth together as they discuss what God is going to do with the both of them, then the birth of John the Baptist, then number 5, the birth of Jesus, and 6th in this series of 9 events is the record of the shepherds on the hillside. Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. I guarantee you, you and I would have been as well. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Just a little passing thought here for all of us to consider. What about their sheep? Did you ever think about that? What about their sheep? Doesn't it remind you a little bit of what the Savior said about himself? Leaving the 99 to go search for the one? Did you ever consider that these shepherds left their sheep to go search for the one? I believe God took care of those sheep, don't you? Kept them right there just napping while the shepherds left. Number 1 in this series of 9 items, the announcement of the coming birth of John the Baptist. Number 2, the announcement of the coming birth of Jesus. Number 3, the visit of Mary and Martha together as they discuss what God's going to do. 4, we have the birth of John the Baptist. 5, we have the birth of Jesus. 6, we have the record of the shepherds on the hillside. Number 7 In this list of 9 items, we have the record of the visit of the wise men. And we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 2 this time. Matthew chapter 2, we're trying to lay out these events as they took place. You know, sometimes people combine events, and they make a mistake when they do that, because God lays it all out here for us in the Bible. And anyway, that's why I want to do this with you. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong. It's funny, when you want to read from Matthew and you're reading in Mark, it doesn't read the same. And I knew that as soon as I got started. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet," and he's going to quote now from the Old Testament, I think it's the book of Micah, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." You remember the story. You remember that's not his true intent, is it? But that's what he said. Typical politician. But when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, notice this, not the stable now, is it? When they were come into the house, because some time has passed, and Jesus is not a newborn anymore, he's a young child. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now please notice a couple of things. Notice we're not told that there were 3 wise men. We're just told that there were wise men. It's assumed that there were 3 because there were 3 different gifts. Each one of those gifts has some significance as it relates to the life and majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're not told that there were 3. There may have been more. But these wise men go not to the stable but to a house. And of course, they're led by a star. And they decide by leading of an angel not to go back the same way they came, because Herod's intentions were not good. So, again, number 1 is the announcement of the coming birth of John the Baptist. Number 2, the announcement of the coming birth of Jesus. Number 3, the visit of Mary and Elizabeth as they discuss what God is about to do with them. 4, we have the birth of John the Baptist. 5, we have the birth of Jesus. 6, we have the record of the shepherds on the hillside. 7, we have the record of the visit of the wise men. 8, this is 8 of 9, we have the fleeing into Egypt and the slaying of all the males 2 years old and under by Herod. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Matthew 2, 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." That's a prophecy, by the way, from the Old Testament as well. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Now, pausing just for a second and reminding all of us, an event similar to this took place in the Old Testament when Pharaoh decided that he was going to kill all the little children a certain age and under. Secondly, I want to mention this. Good thing Joseph obeyed the Lord and left the area and went to Egypt and stayed there until the death of Herod. Verse 17, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Pausing again. Can you imagine the sorrow in Jerusalem? All the children, 2 years and old, younger, all the males, what sorrow there must have been among the people of God. Verse 19, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. I better stop because I went a little bit too far. This is number 8, the fleeing into Egypt and the slaying of all the males 2 years old and under. There's one more of 9, and that's number 9. We have their return to Nazareth after the death of Herod, and that's chapter 2 of Matthew, verses 19 to 23. So if you would, follow along, please. Verse 19, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child with his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. So this is item number 9. Number 1, again, the announcement of the coming birth of John the Baptist. Number 2, the announcement of the coming birth of Jesus. Number 3, the visit of Mary and Elizabeth together as they discuss what God is going to do with them. Number 4, the birth of John the Baptist. 5, the birth of Jesus. 6, the record of the shepherds on the hillside. 7, the record of the visit of the wise men. 8, the fleeing into Egypt and the slaying of the males 2 years and younger. And then number 9, their return to Nazareth after the death of Herod. Did you notice several times as we're reading through all these verses, and I apologize, I realize it's a lot of verses, many more than I normally read, but it gives you the layout, it gives you the story, it gives you the record of what took place and the order that things took place. Did you notice how many times that the Bible said that it fulfilled a prophecy? We think sometimes that things happen by accident. Or we think sometimes that, well, this part of God's plan didn't work, so God made a detour and had him go this way. No, friend. Everything was mapped out ahead of time. Everything was predicted ahead of time. By the way, bring it all the way up to today. There's nothing that happens in our society or in our world or in our history that's happening right now. There's nothing that happens by accident. God never is surprised by what takes place. God has it all mapped out. You might wonder, you know, why do things happen the way they are, and what should we do about this or what should we do about that? Can I just encourage you this? Don't worry about it. I'm not trying to say you shouldn't plan. I'm not trying to say you shouldn't work hard and plan for the future. I'm not saying that at all. But don't worry about it, because our God has it all well in hand. Amen? Amen? He's got it in hand. He has it all mapped out already. There's no reason for you and I to live in fear and not just go forward in faith and trust him. All right, number 1. This last point is a little quicker. Number 1 is the expectation. Hundreds and hundreds of years. It was prophesied. Finally, it happens in number 2, the event. All right? And then number 3 in my outline today is the excitement. The birth of Jesus Christ caused great excitement when it happened. Can you imagine how excited Mary and Joseph were? I bet they were filled with excitement, don't you think? How about Elizabeth and Zacharias? You think they were filled with excitement? I bet they were, not only at the birth of John the Baptist, but especially at the birth of the Lord Jesus. So Mary and Joseph, Elizabeth and Zacharias, you think the angels were filled with excitement? It sure looked that way. The one comes to give an announcement, and then another crowd of them come, and they sing praises unto God on that hillside. Do you think the shepherds were filled with excitement? I'm sure they were. You know, let's go back and tell everybody. Let's let people know. How about the wise men? You think they were filled with excitement? You know that for sure. I like the fact that they brought gifts with them. I think it's a good thing, don't you? When we come to meet with the Savior, that we bring Him a gift. Isn't it interesting that on Christmas, Jesus gets forgotten?
Yes.
And all the gifts go to someone else?
Yeah.
Friend, it's His birthday. We celebrate. When we come to see Him, we should bring a gift. So Mary and Joseph, Elizabeth and Zacharias, the angels, the shepherds, the wise men. Do you think Herod was filled with excitement? In one sense he was, because he was greatly troubled. I mean, there was some anxiety there for them and for him. And because he was filled with anxiety, so was all of Jerusalem. So the birth of Jesus caused great excitement when it happened. The birth of Jesus, by the way, should still cause excitement today.
Amen.
It should cause excitement today. For those who receive Him as their Lord and Savior, your excitement is probably like unto that of Mary or Joseph or Elizabeth or Zacharias or the angels or the shepherds or the wise men. If you have received Him or if you would receive Him today, you too will be excited, because I can say this from personal experience. He has changed my life.
Amen.
And not just this present life, but what about my eternal life? He has changed that. Forever.
Amen.
And that'll never be taken away from me. What a wonderful Savior we have. So we have that similar excitement that these had as we read through these verses. But those who choose to reject Him as Savior, because maybe like Herod, they see Him as a threat to their rule of their own life. You know, like some said in the Gospels, we will not have this man to rule over us. There are people today who have that same mindset. Well, you know, I would get saved, but then I'd have to quit doing this and quit doing that and start doing this and start doing that. You're not a whole lot different than Herod if that's your attitude. You look at Jesus as a threat to your kingdom. But friend, let me assure you, He's no threat. He is a tremendous blessing. And I encourage you to receive Him if you haven't already. Make today that day when you receive Jesus as your Savior. So let me ask you this as I wrap this up today. Which is it for you? As far as Jesus causing excitement and His birth causing excitement, which one is it for you? Have you received Jesus as your Savior? Do you look forward to Christmas? Do you enjoy Christmas? Do you enjoy the birth of Christ? Do you enjoy singing the Christmas hymns? Do you enjoy reading the Christmas scriptures? Do you enjoy the story of His birth? And why He came? By the way, wasn't that a beautiful offertory today? I enjoy this time of year so very much. If you've received Him as Lord and Savior, no doubt you enjoy those things. But friend, if you haven't received Him as Savior, because at least up to this point you've rejected Him, you probably don't enjoy Christmas near as much. At least not like we do. That all can change today. That all can change today. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise that He would give His Son to be our Messiah and our Savior. If you haven't received Him yet, please do so today. Let's stand together, shall we? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking. We talked to the state today about the expectation, the event, and then the excitement. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one's looking. Dear Heavenly Father, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know who here is already saved. You know who here is not saved. And if there be someone here who is not saved, please, God, speak to their heart. Help them to realize that Jesus is no threat to them, but he could be a tremendous blessing to them if they would just bow the knee and surrender to the salvation that you offer. Their life and their eternity would be changed forever. For those of us who already know you as Lord and Savior, may we rejoice as the angels and others did at the news of the birth of the Messiah. Bless, please, this invitation, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.